Well, hello, fellow fantasy baseball nuts, and a very big warm welcome to episode 8 of the Johnny and Josh Show Fantasy Podcast add-on. And what a week it has been. 8, very lucky for many in the Chinese culture. Has it been lucky for you in the world of fantasy? Well, here to help us quench that thirst for baseball insight, what an absolute pleasure, as always, to welcome Mr. James Holt. Jimbo, how are you?
Hello, I'm really good. Yeah, it's getting so exciting now. We're going to have 16 teams making the playoffs in about 10 days' time. And I have to say, I have really enjoyed this very difference of 60-game sprint of a season.
Yeah, but I don't think you're alone. For me as well, the intensity of it, all these sort of dynamic changes that have been going on, and I always feel in a normal season, in a non-COVID season, you know, when you're sort of into the dog days of August. I mean, they're named for a reason. It becomes exhausting, and if you're not competing, if you're not up there with something to fight for, it can be really tough to see it through to the end of the season. But I'm not having any of those problems this year.
No, absolutely. You know, the October Classic is nearly upon us. It's very exciting.
And it's hard to believe it's the October Classic when you consider we've been having this Indian summer here in the UK. Warm, hot, balmy weather.
It's been lovely. And warm, balmy nights for your fantasy teams as well, JG?
Well, as you know, we've avoided this topic throughout this process, and there's a good reason why I want to continue to ignore it. I'm just allowing fate to take its chance.
Fair enough. Well, good luck. Good luck for the last 10 days is what I would say. But yeah, we will definitely discuss it at the end of the season, though, no matter what happens.
We will definitely discuss whether or not, yet again, I've completely blown the greatest chance of my life of fantasy baseball glory. And it can be no coincidence, big guy, that obviously us doing this podcast, for one thing, and two, us talking about fantasy baseball on a regular basis, to the point where our wives think we're actually having an affair, it really does suggest that that there may be some connection. It may not be a pure coincidence that those words of wisdom that you've been sharing with the nation are actually having a positive impact on my personal performance as a fantasy.
Who knows? Hopefully on a few other people's as well, yeah.
So absolutely. We'll okay. Well, this is a really unique part of the season, obviously, with that, a week and a half to go. So what sort of changes should fantasy baseball managers be making for this specific part of the season?
So, right, I think at this day, I mean, as you say, there's literally 10 days left. So assuming that, you know, you haven't given up and moved on to fantasy football, whether that's the UK version or the US NFL version, and you do want to either consolidate your position in the top or in the money gaining places in the top few, or you just want to make up a few places in the standings, you need to be looking at a number of things. So firstly, the number of games left that your players play will directly lead to counting stats. So for example, the Miami Marlins, the St. Louis Cardinals, both have 12 games left, whereas the Minnesota Twins only have 8 games left. So that, you know, that's 50% more games equals potentially 50% more stats available in terms of runs and RBIs. I think you have to be now looking, and we've talked a lot of that, but really you're looking now at hot bats are much more important than famous bats. And we've got quite a few hot bats in the suitcase.
And you mentioned the famous bats. I was looking at your team in the league that we share, and I'm pretty sure I spotted Cody Bellinger sitting on your bench one night when he was fit and he was playing. What was that all about?
He is fit and he is playing, but he's only got 2 RBI in the last 2 weeks. And the reality is I have a lot of better options than him at the moment. I've got Ronald Acuna. He's only got 1 hit in the last 20-plus at-bats.
Yeah.
You know, I'm looking at these guys and, you know, I can't play them all the time.
I have to say the Acuna one's an interesting, because I was watching the game when he got injured, when he fouled the ball off against his ankle and he was taken off. And I thought, that's it. I thought, right, they'll be putting him on the IL. They'll be putting him on ice with a view to getting him back fully healthy for the playoffs. So why have they not done that, given that his performances suggest that he is suffering?
I think really, I mean, so much of Atlanta seems to, yet again, we're turning to an Atlanta Braves podcast, but yes, so much of Atlanta's performance seems to be absolutely around Ronnie and how he does. And I think he's such a talisman for the rest of the lineup. And I imagine, to be honest, he probably telling the team he wants to be out there every single night and wants to be doing his bit. And we're only a couple of games ahead of Miami. So, we need him. But I'm sure as soon as we've got into the playoffs, I reckon you might find him being rested for a couple of games. And actually, that kind of leads me to 2 more points about looking at what we're trying to do. The schedule becomes absolutely crucial in the next 10 days. You know, particularly for pitching, a very average starting pitcher with an easy start is much better than a top starting pitcher with a tricky start. So there's an excellent site called pitcherlist.com. They've done this brilliant analysis of all the team's final starts and have identified, for example, that Houston and Kansas have some very easy schedules. So, you know, players like Quiddy of Houston or Framber Valdez suddenly become kind of must starts rather than people you know think about or not think about. Brady Singer of Kansas had a great start this week. He's got two more, you know, potential wins next week, and I think that's really worth looking at. And you know, we just touched there on Acuna and whether he'd be playing every day. In the last week of the season is an absolute nightmare for fantasy managers because all the top teams start preparing for their playoffs. You'll see a lot of starting pitchers missing a day, going a day later, or particularly just doing a two-inning start or a three-inning start as they kind of get themselves into the right rotation order to hit the playoffs with the, you know, their ace on day one. And you know, that means no wins if you've only got three innings, but and a lot of star hitters will be rested. You don't really want your cleanup hitter injuring his calf on the last day of the season when you're already in the playoffs. And the other thing, of course, is that bottom teams are tanking, so it's, you know, there's a few more losses might ensure a top three draft pick next summer. So you know,
whoa, stop right there. You're telling me that baseball teams around the basement of the standings would actually deliberately lose just to enhance their draft position? Surely not, JG.
But no, I'm actively looking to stream against teams like Texas that seem to be in absolute free fall at the moment.
And actually, you referenced Houston earlier, and now you reference Texas. We're recording this on Friday morning. Last night, another Houston-Texas, what must have been such an absolute run fest, 2-1, bore draw almost in baseball terms. I mean, there's proof in the pudding that, you know, Houston starters against Texas. But the only downside, of course, is you've got any Houston hitters, because neither team seems to be putting the runs on the board. But you're absolutely right about Houston starters when they're up against teams that just don't seem to care. Must be frustrating for anybody that is a Texas fan, that is a Boston fan. I want my team to fight and fight to the end and show some pride.
I'm sure you do, but from a fantasy point of view, which is all that I'm concerned about, this is all about opportunities. So,
okay, yeah. Okay. Well, I've got some really good news on the back of that slightly negative attitude. Right. I've got some really good news for you. I made you a promise earlier in the season. Do you remember?
I'm worried now. Yeah, okay. Go on.
Okay, let me tell you what the promise was before you get confused. I made you a promise that if we continue to do this next season, I'm really hopeful that we will do that, that we will have a fantasy league that is dedicated to the show, and we'll get all our listeners to join in, and you and I will play, and it'll be so much fun, and people will, you know, you'll be humiliated, never be able to be a fantasy baseball expert again if you don't win. But what would really give it some flavour is if I could bring in an absolute genuine superstar who'd be willing to play. I think I may have that solution.
Oh, really? All right, go on, tell me.
Right, well, on the main show this week, our interview is with none other than Premier League footballing legend Asmir Begovic, the Bosnian goalkeeper, who happens not only to be a flipping good goalie, played for Chelsea, of course, for a couple of seasons, but is also...
He's at Bournemouth, isn't he, last season?
He's now at Bournemouth, yeah, but he's been out on loan at AC Milan, but he's just come back. But he's been all over. I mean, his main career was at Stoke, wasn't it, of course, for about 6 years. He's won the Premier League with Chelsea. He was a FA Cup losing finalist. You know, he's been a great goalkeeper. He's also just a great human being. And we met many years ago at a charity event that I did and ended up talking baseball after the event because I'd referenced...
So he is genuinely a baseball fan?
Massive, mate. Absolutely massive. And we did an interview which is on the main show. We've got the highlights of that interview on the main show. There's an extended version that'll be available to our listeners as well. And I asked him during the conversation, I said, by the way, do you play fantasy baseball? And we had a right old laugh, and he said, absolutely. But he had chosen not to this season just because of all the complications and stuff.
Amazing.
And what was hilarious, though, Jim, is he said, do you know what, Johnny, I know my email hasn't been working particularly well, but I never got my invite to that fantasy baseball league. And I was like, whoa, whoa, whoa! And I was like, you're joking, but you're not joking. And I said, well, and I told him what we were doing. I referenced you. Gave you a glorious reference, by the way, and basically said, we would love it, Asmir. That'd be phenomenal if you would play in our league next season. And we had a right old laugh off about it. And I said, look, my people will speak with your people. So fingers crossed we're going to make that happen. And we'll have
our very own Premier League superstar. Premier League winners in the league next year. Oh, brilliant. This is the start. I think this must be our winter activity. I think putting your little black book of contacts to proper use to come up with stuff.
I'm not quite so sure about that when we suddenly realise that most of these people are like, who are you? Sorry? How have you got my number? Yeah. No, we won't go there. But fingers crossed. He's a lovely, lovely man. He's an absolute top boy. And I tell you what, really knows his baseball. And just like you and me, Jimbo, first thing he does every morning when he gets up, other than look after the kids, is check the baseball scores. Massive Yankee fan. We won't hold that against him.
Disappointing.
I only found that out as I was doing my research for the interview. Anyway. Right. Okay. Look, my favourite part of the show, it's the suitcase. Just a quick reminder, of course, for all our listeners, this is for players that are rostered in 20.
Yeah, I've got something for you, actually, then, before we do the suitcase, because we had a really good chat last week about the MVP. Yeah. And we said we were going to come back and talk about the Cy Young, actually, the Cy Young Award, given to the best pitcher in each league. So if you're up for that, I've got a few thoughts on the Cy Young.
Fantastic. Do you want to do a recap on the MVP? Has there been any change in the last week?
There has. It's funny. A week in is a long time in baseball. And I think especially if you're Fernando Tatis. So kind of last week we talked that Tatis Jr. was head and shoulders, clear in the National League MVP race, but actually he's gone ice cold. And now, he and Mookie Betts seem to absolutely be neck and neck for the award.
Well, Mookie's on fire, isn't he? 3 stolen bases in one night the other night.
Very happy to see that. Yeah, he's in one of my teams, and I'm really delighted. He's in Colorado for a 4-game set this weekend, so that's going to be really good. And the other one to mention, the National League, is Freddie Freeman of the Braves, who's closed right up now. So it's very much a 3-horse race. Tatis, Mookie Betts, Freddie Freeman. One of those guys, I think, will get the National League MVP.
Can I ask a quick question? Now you mentioned Freddie, who I absolutely love. We as Braves fans absolutely love. Incredibly consistent. I never quite understand the thinking behind batting him second. This is a man who's got it all. He's got, he's got the timing. He's got the power. Why second? Why not third or fourth, which is what one perceives to be cleanup, where you do genuinely want your best hitter? What's the significance of that?
It depends on the night and who else you've got. I mean, I think to me, I always think Ozzie Albies is our best number two hitter. And I put Freeman at third. But with injuries we've had and people moving around, Azuna's hitting really well, Travis Darno's hitting really well, I think they just have to mix it up. I mean, I think if the Braves had everybody fit and everybody on form, I think Freeman would be at three. I think you'd have Acuna, then Albies, then Freeman, Azuna, Darno, and through to Duval. But I think our manager's partly going on who he can get. And with the way that some of our lower order hitters for the Braves, Duval in particular, really, Austin Riley's got power, hitting home runs. I think the idea to get as many people on base up the order that we can then bring in is part of the strategy, particularly given how poor the Braves' pitching has been this year.
Yeah, okay. Well, let's talk about the AL MVP. You were talking about the possibility we may have a Cy Young Award and AL MVP in Shaun Bieber. But there are other names to consider. Nelson Cruz springs to mind. He's had a phenomenal season.
Yeah, again, that one's becoming, much murkier rather than clearer, which seems odd, with only a week to go, that actually nobody is really separating themselves. Bieber is still up there, but yeah, your man Nelson Cruz, and the other one, Jose Abreu, is still having a really good season, and their odds are really shortening.
So. What the hell's happened with Jose Abreu? I've had him, two of the last 4 seasons. He's never hit for power like he is this season.
Just answer the question, haven't you, Johnny?
The Johnny G jinx strikes again.
Yet again. Okay. I think we do, I love it. Rookie Nookie, we've talked about before, and I love a young player who's going to peak. But I think something like Jose Abreu, maybe we, undervalue, people can undervalue veterans. The White Sox are a team on the rise. They've surrounded him with a lot of other assets in that lineup. So, yeah. But, yeah, he's having a phenomenal season, but it's also a phenomenal two-month stretch. Other players get this hot across 2 months, but it's the fact that the season only is 2 months rather than 6, so we'll see.
Okay, well, that's the NL done. But what about the Cy Young? You wanted to focus on that. I'm surely, certainly in the American League, it's an open shut story.
Yeah, absolutely. It's Shane Bieber. So the race is over. According to all the bookmakers, Bieber is a massive odds-on favourite. Gerrit Cole and Lance Lynn were still in with the shout at the end of August, but it's all Bieber now. It's his.
Well, it's been a one-pitch story for the National League, Cy Young, in previous seasons because DeGrom's just dominated, and he's had a pretty good season this season. Is it DeGrom again, despite his injury this week?
Well, it's much more interesting, actually, than the National League. There have been lots of strong performances, but it now appears to be a really tight race between, yes, DeGrom and also Yu Darvish, who we've talked about before, has had a brilliant season. So, yeah, I mean, you just mentioned DeGrom's injury, and I think that's it. He pulled his hamstring this week, and it's possible if Darvish gets one more strong start, that might lead it to Darvish. And at the moment, he's just, a short neck ahead of DeGrom in the race.
Yeah, in fairness as well, Yu Darvish's last two outings weren't quite at the standard of his previous ones. I mean,
You've
still
got
pitched pretty
high
damn well.
Standards.
Well,
Yeah.
yeah. Well, you're talking about a guy with an ERA, over a 2 month stretch of 1 point something. I mean, they weren't quite to that level, but he's still
No,
phenomenal. God,
absolutely. Yeah,
I haven't got him in any of my teams, and I'm furious with myself for not saying, because we talked about it, and you certainly did recommend him. So, can I ask the question? Does one not actually assume that real baseball and fantasy baseball are obvious parallels, that there's that the assumption is that if he wins a Cy Young, that he's the number one fantasy pitcher as well?
Yeah, I mean, pretty much there is a strong link, and certainly Bieber and Darvish have been the top fantasy aces this year. But you've got a lot of other names: Lance Lynn, Trevor Bauer, Kenta Maeda of the Twins, Aaron Nola of the Phillies. They've all been aces too. And actually, from a fantasy point of view, they've actually all delivered better value even than DeGrom.
Right. And this is the issue, isn't it, with DeGrom being as awesome as he is, and anybody would love to have him because of the ratios, etc. But he's not always guaranteed to be a top fantasy option purely because of that horrific category that we call wins, which most leagues still focus on. And they are such a lottery if you don't get the run support. He doesn't get the run support that his pitching deserves from the pretty woeful Mets.
100% correct. Absolutely. That is the reason. He is a superb pitcher. He doesn't get the run support. He doesn't get the wins. Darvish has got win after win after win. And actually, even somebody like Lance Lynn is the same. And that's arguably why he's come up. He's delivered more fantasy value. A lot of leagues increasingly are using quality starts, which is when you've got at least six innings pitched and given up no more than three earned runs, because they see that as a slightly a fairer metric of judging
Do you
pitching.
prefer that?
I don't mind it. Actually, to be honest, I quite like wins because of the randomness. I think, there is a way to kind of, we've talked a lot about the strategizing of fantasy baseball, how to deliver, how to win. I think wins offer something different. I think particularly for people who like to stream pitchers, they offer some fun. So yeah, I quite like wins, not least because they make it more of an art and less of a science, to be honest.
Okay, well, time is our enemy at the moment, Jimbo. So let's focus now on the suitcase. A quick reminder for all our listeners, of course, this is about players that are rostered in under 20% of most ESPN leagues. I'm loving what you've done. You've had a lot of success already this season, Jimbo. Who have you got for us in the suitcase this week?
This week, the final suitcase of the season, Johnny, as well.
Oh, don't say that.
So, catcher. So, two catchers we've had before. Sean Murphy of Oakland.
Yeah.
Two home runs this week. I mean, he's been hot. And the other person I like is Jorge Alfaro of Miami. He's been in the previous suitcase. He's hot too. And remember, the Marlins still have got those 12 games to play.
And I don't want to be the one that reminds everybody that I mentioned Sean Murphy at the beginning of the season, proved to be completely wrong. I said, yeah, he's going to be a decent, cheap pickup. But actually, I did pick him up this week and got one of those two home runs. So at least he's given me some value this season. What about the corner infield?
Corner infield, again, there seems to be somebody every week. So this week, we're going to focus on Nate Lowe of Tampa Bay. He's a left-hand bat. I don't think he'll play every day. Tampa Bay are a nightmare for rotating their starters and a nightmare for fantasy managers. But he's only on 6% of teams, and he's had three home runs, eight RBIs, one stolen base in the last week. He hit again last night. He's always been a big-time prospect, but he's never got steady playing time. But he's somebody I would really look at if you want a boost. And the other one I want to mention, just a corner infield, if you don't mind, is I want to cheat, because we didn't mention Jared Walsh of the Angels this time last week, who probably would have been the best hitting Hail Mary of the season. He was rostered in 0% of leagues. He's now rostered in over 30% of leagues.
Wow. And in fact, since we did that last podcast, he has been on an absolute tear. And I picked him up because of where he was hitting, and he did great for me. I had a home run night. And then I dropped him because I wanted to replace him with a Marlin. Because you told me all these Marlins are going to have all these games, and they need to win them, so they're going to be going there. You know, and I let him go, and somebody else has picked him up.
Both things can be true. He's still on a tear. And actually, I think, you know, I'd say absolutely go and get him. He's an available. Something genuinely seems to have clicked for him. He seems to have his pitch recognition or something. He seems to be a slightly different player than maybe. He's always had power, but never been able to really have his hit tool strong enough. Something seems to be different. So definitely look at Jared Walsh.
Well, certainly from my experience this season, Jimbo, the middle infield's been a lot more difficult. Shortstop, fine. There's plenty of decent shortstops out there, but second base, nightmare. So I'm assuming you want to focus on a shortstop for the middle infield.
I do, yes. So I'm looking at another Marlin. You've just mentioned them. Those 12 games, I still think are important. So Miguel Rojas, he's back from the COVID list. He's doing great. He's a 480 on-base percentage this week. He's got a home run, a steal, some counting stats, and he's only on teams in 15% of ESPN leagues. So I would definitely look at him. And if you want another name, Willie Castro of Detroit is another one who is at least playing, and he is chipping in with a few runs and RBIs.
Okay, the outfield seems to be a bit of a carousel. They're hot, they're cold, they change, they don't. Who's hot at the moment?
That's so very true. There's plenty of people who've been on the suitcase. They've been hot for 2 weeks, got rid of. A lot of people have obviously graduated. We've mentioned them in previous weeks. They're now rostered in more than 20% of the league. So who have I got this week? I've got Shogo Akiyama of Cincinnati.
Yeah, leading off.
Finally, in the sort of form that the Reds thought they were getting at the beginning of the season. He's starting to steal bases, and that's been helpful. So a couple of others. If you want power, Garrett Cooper. We mentioned him last week. Miami. You can see the trend here. And, he's eligible at first base and outfield, and he gets on base, and he just clocks in with runs batted in and runs and the odd home run. So, you know, he keeps your counting stats ticking over. If you need speed, again, Manny Margot, we mentioned him last week. He doesn't play every day, but he's got another 3 stolen bases in the past 7 days. That makes 8 stolen bases in the last 2 weeks. That'll win you the category in some leagues.
And I was going to say, that's one category that, you know, let's face it, there's not a lot of stealing going on this season. So it's a category that, you know, you can really make an impact on your points total if you focus on players that do steal and are starting to steal. So let's talk about pitchers, starting pitching, if you will.
Yeah, so we talked about this earlier, and I have to say it's just all about matchups now. We've got 10 nights left. You've just got to look at who people are playing.
Okay, so it's all about streaming. But presumably most of the Houston starters have gone since you mentioned it last week.
I think so. I mean, it's difficult, but you know, there are some people out there owned in less than 20% of leagues who I absolutely, you know, would recommend. For now.
Well, I want names. Who are they? I need these names.
Fine. All right. If I get out my little black book, which has some stream, yours has contacts of the rich and famous. Mine has names of potential streaming pitchers. So, okay, names. Cole Hamels, Atlanta, building up strength for the playoffs.
He got Kane the other night. What are you talking about, man?
Yeah, I'm talking. He's at home to Miami. I'd be looking at that. The break. You know, if you want to win, that's a good chance to win. You got Tyler Anderson of San Francisco. Yep. He's at home against Colorado. They're not great on the road. Drew Smyly, exactly the same match. Up, he got 8 Ks in 3 innings the other night. Danny Duffy of Kansas, he's at home to Detroit. They're not playing well. And Jaime Barria of the Angels against Texas, and we've mentioned how poor Texas are earlier. So there are 5 that I personally will definitely be. I'll be streaming every one of those in one or other of my leagues. Clearly there are no guarantees in life, but you know, if you want, there are 5 people I will be streaming, all of which are rostered in less than 20% of leagues.
Which actually brings us to a point that we've never discussed, and we haven't got time this week, but we must, is waiver budget. Because if you have no budget at this stage of the season and you're getting outbid constantly with these streamers, that's when it comes to bite you in the arse.
Yeah, so we'll have a definite. In the off season, we'll have a lot of time to look at a lot more strategy. But yeah, waiver strategy, absolutely. How to use your budget better than Johnny does might be a
That's what we'll entitle it.
Okay. I'm no better than you are on that front. I've several leagues. I've got not a penny left, and it's not helping.
No, absolutely. Well, we're going to talk about relief pitchers. I can't believe it. At this stage, we've still got more closers appearing on the waiver wire. What's going on?
It's the closer carousel. I mean, it's just, I've never seen anything like it. But I say, if you need closers, this is the year. They're always there. So two more for you this week. First, a guy called Stephen Crichton. He appears to
D-backs,
be the, absolutely. The D-back closer. He's on, but rostered on just 4% of in 4% of ESPN leagues. And Matt Barnes of Boston. He's just at the threshold, 20% of leagues. He's rostered, but three saves in the past week for the Boston Red Sox, and some decent stats with that.
Well, I was going to say, perhaps that's the reason why they haven't been rostered, is because to get a save, you've got to get a win, and you're talking about two of the worst teams in the league, so perhaps that's the reason. But as you say, he's got three for Boston, so loving that, which moves us nicely on to the Hail Mary, my absolute favourite. And just a quick reminder, this for all our listeners, this has to be a player rostered in less than 1% of leagues. So it's always a tough task to ask, can you possibly come up with a Hail Mary this week?
So this week we are going, it's Christian Arroyo of the Boston Red Sox. He's playing every day at second base, and although he's at the bottom of the batting order, he's hitting ninth, he does have two home runs in the past week. So yes, he's there, he's going to be available if you need somebody. You mentioned the lack of second bases, the second baseman earlier, he's out there.
He's out there. And as you say, he's playing every night. And that, again, is a massive stat, given the fact that they are starting to chop and change on such a regular basis. Thankfully, the one person not being chopped and changed or dropped or put on the bench is your good self. Thank you for joining me, as always, Jimbo.
A pleasure. A pleasure. Entertaining. And good luck is all I'm going to say.
Don't even go there. That's it from this week's Fantasy Podcast add-on for the Johnny and Josh Show with me, Johnny Gould, and James Holden. Do check out the main show, and do check out the full version of the Asmir Begovic interview, where he talks about baseball and his passion for baseball. But we also talk about football and the world of charity, etc., etc. But from us, guys, thank you for joining us. Ladies and gentlemen, it's been a pleasure. We look forward to having your company this time next week, when hopefully I may even have some good news in the world of fantasy baseball.